This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family matters.
It is that time of the week. It is Family Matters. I'm Beck. I'm here with our lovely producer, Gina. It's been a long time, Gina G.
It has been a long time.
OG squad in tonight.
Yeah, well, last week was such a fun show for our birthday that I completely forgot about until you and Dave reminded me.
Well, you're a terrible parent to us, Gina.
I'm a bit tired. Sorry.
And we have our new friend, Con, who we let sit in with Dave and I last week, and we didn't scare him off because he's back, so that's good.
I'm back.
You are back, Con.
Hello, Gina. Hello, Beck.
I'm very excited.
See you both.
Yes, good to see you.
Yeah.
Now, Gina.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that are going on. One of them I'm going to talk about later, which is one of the saddest breakups in Australian history.
No. Why is it a sad breakup, though? It's affected all of our children.
It's affected all of the children. Breakups affect children, but the breakup of the yellow and purple wiggle, Gina, is next level. So I'm going to give them some legal advice for the early days of their separation a little bit later. But before that, we have something you're pretty excited about, don't we, Gina, our special guest?
Let's just say I see three of you at the moment, Beck, because I haven't slept for 2 weeks.
Well, I've got an answer for you, Gina.
Yes.
I have Shay Cox, the baby whisperer.
Baby whisperer?
That's her full name.
Awesome.
And she is going to teach us all about sleep.
I'm a bit excited. But just before we get into that, you know what? This is a song that kind of reminds me about what I might never, ever have again, which is sleep.
I was wondering what you're going to say. Yeah. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy. I did like that song, Gina.
See?
That was lovely. It was
sweet.
Nice and
it's
sleepy.
Breaking up, but never, ever.
Never,
sleep
ever.
Again.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I'm Beck. I'm here with Gina and Con. If you would like to join the conversation, you can SMS us 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au or all the social medias. All of them. Every single one.
Yeah, we're on all of
Twitter,
them.
Twitter, Facebook. Instagram. We don't Snapchat because we've learned from the police some things about that.
Stay away from
So we're not going to do that.
No.
But we do have a very special guest in the studio. Shay Cox is a mother of three young children. Wow. That's impressive in itself.
She's learned my lesson.
Yeah, that's right. You're a slow learner, Shay. She's often dubbed the baby whisperer by family, friends and colleagues. She's known well for her ability to settle the most unsettled babies.
Ooh.
Wow. And relax and rebalance a child who is having the mother of all tantrums. That sounds very important. Welcome to Family Matters, Shay.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, how does one become an expert on sleeping? I think I am one because I sleep all the time, but I assume you have some
Clearly
professional qualification. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, obviously you did mention in my intro that I'm a mother of three, so I've had very many nights of interrupted sleep and suffered a lot of sleep deprivation myself. But my main reason for getting into sleep consulting was due to family and friends that I saw suffering, and for some reason, I would hold them and they would settle down. I'm like, there's some sort of talent I've got here, so I'm going to explore it a bit further. So that's how I ended up where I am today.
My goodness.
Yes.
Shay, you might be coming straight home to my house this evening, because when you walked in here, we knew you are the sleep whisperer. That's kind of your nickname. And I was like, oh, my God, you're so rested and you've got three children. So clearly, you know what you're doing. But yes, there's been some research we've been hearing about. Con, do you want to – this is why we've actually brought you in.
Yeah, I mean, Baby Sleep Love has sort of revealed us some staggering statistics. For example, you know, 86% of children under five do not sleep through the night, and 40% of mums admit that they haven't had a decent night's sleep since having a baby.
Oh, my God.
Gosh, I mean, that's a huge amount of people out there who sort of –
Yeah, that's right.
Sleep.
And I think, as you mentioned, Con, like those stats are quite alarming.
Yeah.
And I think it's not, there's so many factors that come into sleep and no two children are the same. And I think if we try and parent them the same and we try and expect the same of them, it's an unrealistic goal. So I think it's really important that families and parents really need to let go of what they thought parenting would be like, and also let go of what they thought, how they thought their children would sleep, and really focus on more what they can control and how they can make their baby sleep better or their child sleep better.
Because I know when I saw the press release, I'm like, oh, I haven't slept in a few weeks. And I jumped at the opportunity to bring you in. And we've even got, we'll be speaking with Fiona from Chicks Talking Footy, who is, whose son Jax is over, Jackson's over a year old now.
He's nearly two. Yeah.
He's nearly two. Yeah. And they've already just enrolled into sleep school. Mm-hmm. I've got a 7.5 month old. I'm not in sleep school yet,
yeah.
But I'm talking to someone who, I kid you not, for the last two weeks, have not slept a wink. So the research was kind of scary because 1 in 3 mums, wasn't it, are not getting sufficient sleep. Were they... Can we first ask why this research was actually conducted? What was the purpose of it?
Yeah, so the research was originally conducted by Baby Love Sleep to have a look at the impact of children and their sleepwear and what they were wearing to bed, and found that babies that were swaddled in a Baby Love Sleep sleep sack were sleeping better than their unswaddled counterparts. So it was sort of found by accident, the results of the impact of the sleep deprivation on the parents that were studied. Yeah, the 1 in 3 reported that it was impacting, not only impacting their bond that they had with their baby, but half of the parents reported it impacting the relationship with their partner as well. So sleep deprivation is a massive issue and leads to sleep deprivation. Leads to postnatal depression. Yes. And yeah, as you know, you've only had 2 weeks of no sleep, and the impact that has on your work life, your relationships, it's a big problem.
Yeah, I can't handle heavy machinery. I can't even string a sentence.
I can't even say heavy machinery
at the moment. I'm just like, absolutely delirious.
Because it's really an issue then that affects the whole family unit, I guess, isn't it? It's not just the baby not sleeping. If everyone's not sleeping, it's, you know, can reach out into the broader house and I imagine make things very unpleasant.
Yeah, it definitely is, because I think, you know, parents are so exhausted and just even simple everyday tasks are so overwhelming. Mm. And if one parent, usually the primary caregiver, is, you know, up all night and whatever, and then the other partner's going off and going to work, and so when they get home, it's, you know, like the primary caregivers like throw the baby to, you know, who's been at work all day because they just need a break, and then, you know, washing isn't done, dinner's not cooked, and the person working doesn't understand, like, what have you been doing all day?
I showered today. Yeah. That was such a success.
I thought you were looking nice and sprightly
that
today.
That was big deal.
Do all babies at some stage go through one of these phases where they don't sleep, or are there like unicorn babies who are just like magic sleepers from day one? Like magical sleeping babies.
I just assume those parents lie. Yeah. Are there such a thing?
Well, I think, again, it comes back to the expectations of what you expect that they're going to do. And I think new parents have a false sense of security that they're going to bring their babies home and they're just going to sleep. So I think it's nobody sleeps through the night. Even adults don't sleep through the night. We all sleep in sleep cycles. And baby sleep cycles are 45 minutes. So in the initial stages, if your baby's sleeping for 45 minutes in a nap time, you're doing a really good job.
See, I had misread clearly because I'm sleep deprived 20 minutes and was like high-fiving no one. There's no one else home with me. And I've just realised I've robbed 25 minutes off my child's sleep cycle. So what's this 20-minute myth thing
I've seen? I think probably they may be in the deep stage of their sleep cycle for 20 minutes. But if we're often parents, you know, are just doing anything out of pure exhaustion to get their children to sleep, and they're probably cuddling them to sleep or rocking them or patting them or shushing them or whatever. And so they've probably already had 10 minutes of their cycle in your arms before you even transport them to the cot. That's if you transport them to the cot. And then they go to sleep in the cot, and then 20 minutes later they're waking up because they're coming into what they call their light stage, or their, you know, their lighter stage of sleep, to transfer into the next sleep cycle if they're able to transfer between cycles.
Actually, I have a question about that rocking them to sleep because as someone with no children, I like to develop very firm views on things about other people's children.
It's all what we thought we would do as parents.
I know. If I have kids, mate, I'm going to have some friends coming after me. But I spend a lot of time with my friends arguing with each other about patting the baby to sleep, putting the baby in, let it scream. Like, is there one answer to that question?
There's not so much one answer, but as I said before, we develop what we call sleep crutches because we're willing to do anything to get a good night's sleep. I will sit on the couch all night. I will turn loud music on. I will exhaust my Dyson vacuum cleaner.
Okay, confession. Gina discovered by accident that the Dyson vacuum cleaner running put the baby to sleep. And this was a day where she needed a sleep and she hadn't had a sleep. And something spilled, and of course I had to clean it up before the dog went to eat and you know, everything else crumbled. And I put the Dyson on really quickly, turned around and found the baby sleeping. I discovered white noise that day.
Yes,
and
that's right.
That the Dyson delivered white noise and that you didn't actually have to clean while the Dyson was on. And blew the motor on my Dyson. So
that was quite an expensive lesson to learn when there's free apps on iTunes for white noise. But I think it's really, I think what we believe is the most important thing at Sleep Play Love is that we need to give our children a sense of emotional and physical security. So white noise is one of the things that offers them that physical security. So setting up the sleep environment for successful sleep, making them feel physically safe by having the nursery at the right temperature, which is somewhere between 19 and 22 degrees for those parents out there that aren't sure. Also having the white noise running continuously on loop so it's not cutting out after a sleep cycle when they come into that light stage of sleep and realise that something's different to when they went to sleep. Also having the room dark enough or light enough, depending on how old the child is. And also, as I said before, using age-appropriate sleepwear is really important. So in the first sort of from birth to 4 months, swaddling your child in a baby love sleep sack or sleepy hug sleep sack, what they do is they mimic the womb environment. So they give the child a sense of physical security and safety because they feel at home, you know, in that fourth trimester.
In a size that would fit a 37-year-old. Well, I think that's nice to me.
I think that's better known as a onesie.
Oh, I have them. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll check it. One or the other. Like, it's strapping your arms.
So as important as it is to have swaddle them in that fourth trimester as it is, as they developmentally change, they start to roll, then you need to change their sleepwear accordingly because then it can become a safety hazard if they can flip over to their front, which usually happens around that 4 months, is they can get onto their front but they can't get back to their back, so they need to have use of their arms. So if they've got their arms strapped down and they can't get back, then that can become a safety risk. So we need to change their sleepwear accordingly as they change developmental age and stage. So the baby loves sleep have a range that as they go through developmental changes, then the babies can, you know, change the sleepwear to suit
parenting
their age and
sounds
stage.
Very scary to me.
Seriously, Beck, I kid you not, when it temperature, I kid, like literally every measurement, every temperature is like recorded, and because, you know, she's got one of those little sleepy suits, like little sleeping bags that we put her in, but if, like the other day she threw up all over that, which I had to smell from Panadol. But then the next one was a different like temperature level, so then I had to adjust the temperature for the bed. And because as we learn in our baby safety class, you can't overheat the baby.
That's
it's
right.
Highly dangerous.
That's
you don't want to be putting the child at risk of overheating. So, my God, you can understand why some people just hold the baby to rock it to sleep. Yeah.
And that's what I mentioned before. There's so many factors.
Yeah.
So to say, how can I get my baby to sleep better is a very open-ended question because it's not, I mean, I work with children from 0 to 7 years. So I still have, you know, 4-year-olds in beds with their parents. I still have, you know, 6-year-olds experiencing nightmares or night terrors or, you know, parents wanting to change a child from a cot to a toddler bed, wanting to night wean, wanting to, you know, get them out of nappies. Like, there's so many factors that affect sleep. So we really need to, I think, focus on what we can control.
Yeah.
And what we can control is offering them that sense of safety and security, both in their physical and emotional environment. So I think it's really in today's day and age, because we are so busy, often both parents are working, And we've sort of forgotten about the bond and the connection and spending time actually bonding and connecting with our children. So
you actually would, when we were just off air, you were talking about certain connection stuff because I was talking to you about one of my problems, which I'm about to share after this break.
Family Matters is brought to you today by the letters LGBTIQA and the number one.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy. We have a wonderful guest tonight, Shay Cox, the baby whisperer. I feel like I have to whisper when I say it. And we are learning all kinds of things about sleeping. Con, we're going to let you get a word in.
Shay, I was going to sort of say, one of the things that we sort of keep on hearing about is these misconceptions of what we should or shouldn't be doing with our children when they're crying.
You're Greek, that's why.
I'm Greek. I'm Greek. So that's the thing. I can imagine my mum sort of saying now, well, it worked for us when we bring up you kids.
Of course.
But we've sort of learned so much more since they bring us up as kids.
Yeah.
So what are some of these misconceptions? One of them that we keep on hearing about is the cried out aspect. So what's the kind of feeling about what should be doing about that nowadays?
Yeah, well, I think it's a very controversial thing, and it's very much dependent on the individual and how they choose to parent and the parenting style that they have. There's lots of, you know, places that can help, whether you, like you mentioned before, Gina, around sleep schools, you've got private sleep consultants, you've got, you know, day stays, you've got week stays, you've got residential care. Like, there's so many options of, and I think it's just the most important thing is to choose something that suits your parenting style. Yeah. So at Sleep Play Love, we don't believe in a cry it out approach at all. We don't use crying as a way to get babies to settle themselves, as our belief is that if a child's feeling connected and they've developed that bond with their caregivers and they have a sense of safety and security in their physical and emotional environment, then they're going to sleep better. We believe that if a baby's got to be able to release whatever goes in, we call it into their emotional backpack, has to come out, whether it comes out in tears, which is sometimes the case, or whether it comes out through a tantrum, or whether it comes out through laughter. There's many ways that they can release these big feelings that they have. But as far as a cried out approach, cried out is crying releases a stress hormone called cortisol. So by crying, they're building up on that stress hormone. So usually babies, they probably will fall asleep after, you know, exhausted amount of times because they're physically and emotionally absolutely spent and they've got nothing left. So they may fall asleep, but we believe that we can get them sleeping in a much nicer way for both the parent and the child by developing those connections with them.
I'm going to jump in here and ask a question because, one, the crying out thing, I don't think I could ever sign up for it only because I have been with the baby when she's cried incredibly. Not only is that child releasing a stress hormone, but Gina here is releasing a stress hormone and you are freaking the hell out. I'm going to try not to swear. Now, for me, it's a little bit difficult. So my partner is the birth mother and is breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really fortunate that our baby is also bottle feeding express breast milk.
Yeah.
But the baby has associated night sleep, going to, full sleep with the breastfeed. Now, my partner can't be stuck at home every night all night. She's had to go out for work functions. And I had one night where it was the first night she'd gone out. Bubba was a little bit sick. And I thought I'd be able to settle. You know, I did we had the bath when we did. I did the massage and I did the,
massage.
The bottle.
Yeah, does your baby live in a spa?
I sing to her during bath time.
As I say, you'll do anything to get a good night's sleep.
Everything. I give her a lovely massage and then I give her a bottle and usually I sing the Sound of Music themes.
I'm going to get Gina to come put me to sleep.
I kid you not, Sound of Music seems to just like work every time. But this night, no. Mm. She cried and cried and cried. To the point where, one, I called my parents to remove the evil eye. That didn't work.
Good old Greek traditions. Yes, we'll grasp any straws we can grab to get this.
I couldn't go out in the pram, so I pushed the pram in and out of the house. Didn't work. Didn't have the car, so I couldn't drive her. Rocked, like, I did everything, Shay, to the point where I had to call my partner and say, come home now.
Yeah.
The minute my partner walked in, she went to sleep on the boob.
Yeah.
So what do I do in this kind of, how do I kind of fix this conundrum? And why is she going to sleep? Like, my partner's like, what was wrong with you? Why couldn't you just, I'm like, I don't have that. Mine doesn't work that way.
Yeah, so I think probably what you'll find is that the association with going to sleep for her night's sleep is associated with the breast and the comfort that she gets from the breast. So it's not necessarily that she's getting the milk from the breast, because she's getting the same milk from the bottle.
Yeah.
And so it's not the bottle, because she'll feed from the bottle during the day.
Yeah.
I would put that down to a pure connection thing. So she just wants to have that connection time with your partner. Might be that she's been out during the day.
Yeah.
So I call it bookends. So for those partners that are working, it's really important that you spend some time connecting with your children before you go to work.
Mm.
And again, developing that reconnection when you get home from work.
Yeah.
So if your partner's come in and, you know, the baby's expecting to have the feed and have that connection time with your partner and get the comfort that she gets from the breast, she's not getting that same connection and comfort from the bottle. So it's a purely a connection thing. It's nothing that you're doing wrong.
I won't take it personally.
You know, and
I
mean, she'll settle fine for a nap with you. So it's I think it's just she's got that association with you know, the comfort that the breast is providing for
and
a big sleep.
And that's quite normal for that to maintain, because everyone's saying to me, oh, you need to stop that right away. She'll never be able to sleep at night. But
I mean, you could try on the nights that your partner's home and interchange it, like every second night you try the bottle and then you can just pull her in as the last minute, like worst case scenario. But yeah, I think it's just really working on that, whether she has a chance even to connect before with your partner and then you try the bottle. But I think she's just using it as a purely a comfort and connection that she's getting.
Or we could go to Bunnings, get some gaffer tape, and we could tape the bottle to your breast. That's another idea.
There are devices that you can, you know, there is co-feeding. There is other things you can do. I did find she slowed this cry down when I put my partner's clothes around my neck so she could smell.
Yeah,
my
that's
partner.
Right, yeah.
But I can't do that all the time.
Oh, you got some weird stuff going on in your house, mate.
I'm singing Sound of Music daily.
The thing is, there are a lot of devices, like you said before, for those babies that won't breastfeed as well, that, you know, parents that have so desperately want to be able to develop that bond and connection that they think that breastfeeding brings, that we'll use devices like that too.
My gaffer tape, maybe not.
But I think all they need to do, really, is just spend time connecting at other stages. It doesn't have to be around feeding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Another thing I know my friends fight about and I try to have firm views on is co-sleeping.
Yes.
Now, I just freak out and think someone's going to roll over and squash the baby, but I know people do it, so there must be good ways to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Can we pay the bills and then we'll come back and answer that
Absolutely.
Question?
The life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Family Matters, we are learning stuff tonight about sleeping.
I'm so sleepy.
But it's keeping us wide awake, the irony of it all. I'm Beck, I'm here with Gina and Con and our special guest, Shay Cox, the baby whispering legend. I'm making it longer as I go along.
I love how you say it in a whisper. It's making me sleepy.
But it's like one of those words, like I hear whisper and I have to whisper. Now, Shay, just before the break, I was asking you about the, should I say, controversial or whatever you want to call it, idea of co-sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so co-sleeping, I think we're not opposed at Sleep, Play, Love. We're not opposed to co-sleeping. We very much are of the notion that if it's not a problem for you, it's not a problem for us. What we really focus in on is if you are going to co-sleep, we need to do it safely. Mm. So baby safety is always our top priority. So whether it be, you know, bumpers on a cot or having things that could possibly be a suffocation problem or whatever. So if you are someone that wants to co-sleep with your child, it's how we teach you how to do that in a safe manner. And often it is done in an unsafe manner when I, you know, step in to help parents that are co-sleeping and they have a partner in a bed and they have doonas and they're feeding on demand during the night, and it can definitely be a hazard if it's not done safely. So,
yeah, we've actually got a really good Rosemary Boland, who is one of the leading safe baby safety sleep experts. We do have that podcast. We highly recommend you check it out. So many important tips, especially about co-sleeping, mm-hmm. and one of the highest risks they've recently found, which is couch co-sleeping,
yeah.
because people just think, oh, well, it's not the bed, mm. so it eliminates
and that's
that.
Right.
But it's a high, high risk of...
and that's right. I mean, there are, you know, yeah. on a couch, there's yeah. a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Bubs could fall off, mum yeah. could fall asleep, yeah. you know. Bubs could fall asleep and there's cushions
exactly.
and there's, you know, yeah. so it is very much safety first. Safety yeah. is your first priority. So if that's something that you do want to do, make sure that you look into it carefully. There are blogs on our website as well at www.sleepplaylove.co. But it's really, yeah, really important that it's done safely if that's your chosen matter.
Do people get stuck, though, if they're co-sleeping with their kid? Yeah. Like, you don't want your kid to be, like, 25 and still in the bed with you. Like, is that a problem?
Well, I did actually meet someone the other day whose 14-year-old is still sleeping.
I can't do it.
But not because they were looking for my help. I was just chatting to her mother and she, yeah, said her 14-year-old's still sleeping in her bed. So it's, again, it comes down to a connection thing. So, yeah. If you want to get them out of your bed, as I can help you sleep them in your bed, I can help you get them out of your bed. It usually comes down to, you know, like I had a client recently that went away with her husband for a wedding anniversary for a week, and the grandparents babysat, and then when they got home, the 4-year-old would no longer sleep in her own room and wanted to be with them.
Wow.
So again, it's call on anything. I don't, you know, if you've got to be in our bed, then as long as we're all getting a good night's sleep, so be it. But then after, you know, 12 months of that, they wanted the baby or the child out of their bed, so yeah. I helped them, you know, with that. And it's just about developing those connection tools again.
And that's the big question for me. It's like, at what point do you ask for help? Because, you know, you don't sign up to have a baby, mm-hmm. but, you know, you kind of are told you're not going to sleep well. Like, I was told that. I don't think anyone prepared me for the sleep deprivation that I'm experiencing. Mm. Like, you kind of think you know it, but you don't.
Yeah.
And I know the last 2 weeks I joke that I haven't slept, but I also know my baby's teething. And mm-hmm. she went from sleeping really well at night to no day sleeps to us being told she must have day sleeps, apparently, mm-hmm. to giving her day sleeps, kind of, and that's reducing night sleep. So,
yeah.
you know, there are so many books, there are so many websites. How do you know, one, what is, for in their first year, what is proper sleep? And at what point do you go, actually... might need to get some help at
yeah.
this point.
Well, there's sort of a lot of questions that you ask. I think it's very important that you use an age-appropriate sleep routine
okay.
for your child, and I think it's really important that you have positive sleep associations for your child so they do feel safe
sound
in their
music.
Environment. Yeah, same as Collingwood theme song for my husband, but anyway, we won't go into that. So I think it's really important that you have a age-appropriate routine in place.
And so does that change your baby's...
Yes, it does,
okay.
definitely. So the sleep requirements for a child change a lot over time. So what we've got to do is it's more based on the amount of time the child's kept up in between
yeah.
sleep. So if they're not napping for a long period in the day, like if they are catnapping, then they may need to not have as long up for the next stage
yeah.
that they're awake or whatever. So it's really important to develop those age-appropriate routines, which is where we can help. Or as I said before, it's really finding, I think, someone that is in line with your parenting style. So you've got to engage a professional that mm. suits what you, because if I say to you, okay, we'll just let them cry for 40 minutes and you're not someone
I'll
that can let them cry
myself.
Out, well,
yeah.
I'm not the right person for you. So that's where I suppose you make that decision. But I think it's when you feel overwhelmed and you're feeling, you know, desperate for help and it is affecting your relationship, one, the bond that you're having with your child, because if a mother's sitting in a dark room for 8 hours a day, which isn't uncommon in mothers that I'm working with, they're sitting there and they're so focused on sleep and they're sitting in the dark and they're rocking and they're padding and they're shushing and they're, you know, soon you can see how postnatal, postnatal depression kicks in.
Because that's a big misnomer. You think about when you say keeping it age appropriate, how mm-hmm. often they sleep and during the day and night. There's the old concept, well, keep them awake during the day so they're tired at night. So that's mum and dad can sleep then too. But that's obviously not the right way to be.
Definitely not.
You need to sort of look at the age of the child and work out what's appropriate balance to have.
Yeah, definitely. So I think, well, overtiredness is the main catalyst
yeah.
for
Yep.
Tantrum.
Bedtime resistance, overnight waking, and early morning rising. So having an age-appropriate routine in place and they're getting the right amount, it's really important that they get the right amount of sleep at the right time. So if you let a baby sleep all day, well, they're not going to sleep all night. So babies aren't born with a circadian rhythm. So we need to develop that circadian rhythm for them. So often parents either start their day too late or finish their day too late or whatever. So the child's never in the right pattern or they're not getting enough sunlight or, you know, they don't know day and night when they're born. So
I've got a friend who, I kid you not, does bright light and then takes them straight into dark. Bright light, straight. Apparently it works when the baby goes to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but...
Sounds like a dance floor. Bright light, dark light.
So it is sort of, I suppose, that sleep promotes sleep, but it's also getting the sleep at the right time to promote the sleep, you know, the long stretch of sleep in the night time. So I often, with parents that I'm talking to, it's sort of like I you know, it's very genetic as well. Like often sometimes early rising can come because their parents are early risers, or like my partner loves going to bed early and I love staying up. I'm a night owl. So at night he's like, oh, do you really have to work now? And I'm like, I'm most productive from 10 till 12. Like that's when I, whereas he's most productive from 6 to 8. So for him to tell me to go to bed at like 9:30 is like me going to bed in the middle of the day. Yeah. So it's the same for our kids. So we've got to work out those timings and what suits them to be able to develop those positive sleeps.
See, my baby has kind of learnt that, like, her favourite wake-up time is literally the minute my partner walks out the door to catch the train. And it's like, oh, hi, good morning.
Time to start the day.
I've taught her, you know, that she likes the sound of the coffee machine because we get up and we grind the beans together. We make that into a game.
Yeah.
Press those buttons. Training this
you
kid.
You don't talk to adults a lot anymore, do you?
No, I really don't. It's my one chance, mate. Like, seriously, I'm here.
And I think the thing is, too, like you just mentioned then, with the sound, with the coffee machine and all of that, it might not necessarily be the sound of the coffee machine. It's the connection that you're having with her at that time.
You've got
the eye contact, you laugh, you do the, you know, sounds, you know, you play with the ducky in the bath and it talks, or you walk into a wall and they laugh, so you do it again. You know, you do really have to take your adult hat off when you're parenting. You know, it's all about, as I said, mentioned earlier, about that release of emotion. So if we can get them to release the majority of their emotion through laughter, it's much nicer for us than it is to, you know, hear them cry or have a tantrum or whatever. But that off-rail behaviour is very much a result of lack of connection. So if you've been on the phone for an hour to your friend and then you turn around and your child's drawn on the wall or something like that, that's their way of saying, hey, Mum, Dad, you've been on the phone and I'm over here, remember me, you know? So we can't discipline them for drawing on the wall. We've got to look at, well, why did they draw on the wall? So it's not dealing with a behaviour with another behaviour. It's okay, they're screaming out that they want my attention. So that's the only way they're going to get it.
She does get my attention all day and all night long. I love it.
Yeah. That's right. She's cute.
She's kind of cute. I'll keep her.
Yeah.
I'll keep her. Shay, thank you so, so much for joining us. We've learnt heaps. We are going to share your details of your website on our Facebook page and on the podcast of this episode. Any last tips for parents out there?
Just connect with your children and develop that beautiful bond. And remember, like you said, remember why you had kids. You want to nurture that relationship and really, you know, bond and connect with them. It's really important.
I haven't slept in 2 weeks, but I've also laughed a lot because they're bloody hilarious. Very funny.
And that's the thing, you sit and watch them now instead of watching telly or...
There's a bit of telly still. We do like Sesame Street and Baby Jake, but that's for another day. You're on Family Matters here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters. I'm Beck. I'm here with Gina and Con. On the line, we have another special guest. She is Fiona. She is from the wonderful Chicks Talking Footy every Wednesday night on Joy. And she is a recent graduate of sleep school. Welcome to Family Matters, Fiona.
Pleasure to be with you.
Now, we've just had a sleep expert on, so we are educated to the hilt.
We're going to give unsolicited parenting advice, mates.
So. Even more than I already do. Now, Fee, you've recently been to sleep school.
I have.
Tell us, what is sleep school and did you do well?
Well, you probably need to picture the Big Brother house with lots of babies and families.
It's
kind of like that.
Is it so? Sleep school. So I actually don't really know what it is. I saw your Facebook post where you said you were accepted. Is there like an audition process? Is there an application? Is there a waiting list? Yeah, I know. So do you have to apply? And then what does it look like? Do you stay there? How long do you stay? What is it?
Okay, so you it's not like an application as such, but you have to get a referral from a doctor.
Oh.
So we went to a sleep school called Tweddle, and it's a publicly run sleep school, so it's all covered with Medicare, but you have to get a referral from your doctor. And you do go through a bit of a process where they assess you, but it's just questions about what's going on. And then we were staying in the sleep school, so it's like a big house with all these bedrooms and a communal kitchen and communal play area. And you literally stay in the bedroom, the cot's in the other room, and you get coached at night for 4 nights in a row.
Oh, wow.
So there's all these people, these sort of specialists walking up and down the hallway, even at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, telling you what to do. So go, okay, well, he's woken up and he's not settling. Go in there, tell him to lie down. If it doesn't work after 3 times, you say, Mummy's leaving, you need to lie down. You know, they're coaching you the whole time about what to do. So,
oh, wow.
In my head, Fee, it's like Rocky, like they're following you around with a towel around their neck and a whistle, yeah. Like jumping up and down, going, you can do it, Fiona, you can do it, you get in there, you show him who's boss. Is it like that?
Yeah, pretty much. It's, you know, they patch up your split lips and all that sort of stuff. No, it's actually really good. Like we feel like we've took home a different child.
Really?
Yeah, it was quite amazing.
But what, because I can imagine you've gotten to the point where you go, okay, we need sleep school, and all the other families there with you are probably also at the point where they need sleep school. So I'm assuming nobody's really the most friendliest they've ever, you know, it's probably not their best selves coming.
We're all sleep deprived and angry.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's that like with the other parents? Because, you know, great, you've got the specialist there dealing with the emotions of the child and how to put that to sleep. But what then happens between you and other people? Like, were there other rainbow families there? Did you have to make sure you were going to be safe in this space? How did that look?
Well, we were the token lesbians, but there were some interesting characters there. There's no doubt about that. That were probably getting, you know, a lot of extra help as well. So you're in amongst a lot of different family situations. So there were some challenges with that.
Wow.
And then, yeah, my Facebook post, I might have referred to some of that, and then I had to quickly delete it when they wanted to be Facebook friends with me at the end of the week.
So do you feel like you've taken the things that you learnt there home and you do a different routine or a different sort of system now?
Yeah, well, basically what they do is they're coaching you in how to train your child and being consistent and on the same page with your partner and all of that sort of thing. So it's really just about setting boundaries and sticking to them like you should be. But what happens with babies when they're not sleeping is it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you can't be stuffed doing anything except getting whatever's going to get sleep.
Yeah.
We've learned about that tonight.
Bad habit.
Yeah.
It's called a sleeping crutch.
Yeah, that's right. Give them whatever they need to get to sleep. But, you know, it's short-sighted, really, because then, you know, you end up developing some really bad habits that aren't good for you, for any of you in the long run. So co-sleeping wasn't working for us at all. We never wanted to do it in the first place. Yeah. We just kind of caved in. Also, he's very dummy dependent, so we were going in and, you know, having to go in and give him his dummy back every couple of hours.
I'm guilty of that. Yeah. I'm the one getting up doing that now. Oh.
Yeah.
So
one of the things they... Well, he's a bit older now, so one of the things they said is don't put the dummy back in his mouth, put it back in his hand, so that he's learning to put it back in himself.
Mine's learned to fling it across the room, so I'm literally trying not to turn on the light, on my hands and knees, searching the carpet for this dummy because I don't want to wake her even more by turning on the lights. I've heard you can get glow-in-the-dark ones, though.
Wow.
So. Yeah, and get little tiny torches or use your phone torch.
Oh, I didn't even think. See, I'm learning.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go. Baby hack.
So how's your partner doing? Because you're away at the moment, I assume, getting the best night's sleep you've ever had for some warm stuff.
I was in a hotel for 2 nights and you might as well have given me $1 million. But as soon as I went away, he got conjunctivitis. Oh. We basically set the week up so that he was in childcare an extra day. Renee's mum was coming down to look after him. We were all going to be pretty cruisy, really, yeah. even though I was away. But then he got conjunctivitis, so he couldn't go to childcare. Then he got a cold, oh. and now his molars are coming out. It was just, it's been the week from hell.
Oh.
So, and I've been up here, which is nice. But anyway.
Swings and roundabouts of parenting, I'm sure.
Yeah. There is. I'm sure you can send your partner Renee on a holiday when you get back, just to, revenge is the word I call it.
She's earned a bit of time off there, yes. So,
but mate, what was the thing that you said, actually, no, we must go to, what was the moment you go, no, no, we need to do this now?
Well, my partner's an insomniac, so, and I have, we always joke that narcolepsy hooked up with insomnia, because I can, I can nap, you know, any, you know, I can be walking down the street and I'm tired, I have a nap. So I was just watching her generally getting worn down and worn down, and what we were doing just wasn't working. So after months of that, it just got to the stage where we have to do something about this, and we know that we can't quite do it on our own and don't have the confidence and the strategies to do it on our own. So I decided to make some calls and reach out and just do it. So...
Wonderful.
And it's also like giving them a gift of sleep, basically, yeah. that they learn to have this beautiful lifelong skill of sleeping. So
awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Fee. We're going to go and let you have a nap now.
Okay. Yeah.
Get an early night.
I'll just nap right here. If that's okay.
Beautiful. Thanks, mate. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Okay, bye. We'll travel
far. You're listening to Family Matters. I'm Beck. I'm here with Gina and Con. Now, to finish up the show, I just wanted to reflect on some news we've had this week, and that is the unfortunate demise of the relationship between Emma and Lockie from The Wiggles.
It's so sad.
Oh, gosh. What are the colours?
Purple and yellow. Now, they had a fairy tale wedding. It was beautiful. But it is over. And what I thought was, as a family lawyer, it might be a good opportunity for me to give them a little bit of advice about...
Big red car.
Well, yeah, about what to do with the big red car.
Who's getting it?
But I thought what I might do is just give them a few tips for early on in their separation, some of the things they have to look at. So one thing I'd suggest is, particularly given they have to keep working together in their business, which is happens in relationships, I'd like them to go to some mediation just to work on some strategies to relate to each other. Now, they don't have any kids of their own, but they have millions of kids in a way.
Australian children.
I want them to sit down and talk to the kids together about their separation so they're on the same page. There's no mixed messages. I'd also suggest they go and see a child psychologist together to go and get some advice about how to tell the kids, but also what sort of arrangements there can be with the kids now they've separated them. They need to talk about some of their interim financial arrangements, who's going to pay the rent or the mortgage, who's going to pay the loan on the big red car, who's going to use the big red car. Who's going to pay for the hot potatoes at the supermarket? No. All those sorts of things that early on can cause a little bit of trouble. I want them to start getting their financial documents together, so their bank statements, their super statements, all those sorts of things, because they're going to have to disclose all that financial information to each other. So I want them to start getting that information. I want them to maybe go and think about seeing a psychologist, each of them themselves, just to make sure they're on the right track.
I heard Nanny has a host is good in that space.
Is she? Yeah. Separation can be really hard, and they just need to make sure they're really healthy. So I just thought there's some little bits of advice I thought that Emma and Lockie could have. And look, the number one piece of advice I give them is go and see a lawyer. Get some legal advice, such as myself. They could come down to Nichols Family Lawyers, and if they say they were referred by Family Matters...
What do they get, Beck?
I'll give them half an hour for free. So Emma and Lockie, or anyone listening, they're my tips and some suggestions about where to go.
That's the thing. They have to come out to a nation of kids.
Correct. It's complicated when there's children involved, Gina.
Well, that's it. How do you explain divorce to a lot of kids? Dinner conversations are going to go.
Well, that's right. Actually, I read a tweet that said parents of toddlers around the country will be fielding uncomfortable questions about divorce tonight. Here's a script I've planned. When a yellow wiggle no longer loves a purple wiggle, then this is called divorce. It doesn't mean they don't both still love you.
Oh. Oh. And you know what? We love you.
We love you.
We love you, Con.
We love you, Gina. Thanks, Beck, too.
Thank you, Beck. Thank you, Shay.
Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Fiona.
Shay's still outside because I'm going to just take her home now and she's going to help put the baby to sleep.
Gina, you're holding that card tight that Shay's giving you. You're going to be using her.
Totally. Totally.
Thank you for listening to us. We've been Family Matters. Have a good sleep.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.